On a clear November day in 1952, amidst the desolate beauty of the California desert, a humble diner owner with a passion for the stars claimed an encounter that would catapult him into the heart of the UFO phenomenon. This extraordinary meeting with a purported visitor from Venus marked one of the first contactee stories of the modern age and sparked a controversy that still flickers in the shadowy realms of ufology today. The citizen stargazer described a graceful silver craft descending from the heavens, and from it emerged an entity of human-like appearance, but with the serene grace of a being not of our world. This encounter, detailed with photographs of the supposed spacecraft, ignited a fiery debate between skeptics and believers and inspired a movement that looked to the skies with hope and wonder. This case file, join the theorists as we dive deep into the dusty hills of the California desert, exploring the complex legacy of George Adamski.
Theorizing case file 343.
Almost.
George Adamski. I'm Braden.
I'm Zoe.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Andrew.
Is that the right case file number?
No, you're one.
I just threw it out there.
342.
It's 342. No.
You know why? I'll give you a pass this week because last week was this case file.
Sure.
Yeah, I got all fucked up. Right.
Because we thought Dan was actually dead.
What it was, Dan was planning to take out a CEO of a medical company. So he was late. He was formulating his plans. He was on his LinkedIn group with Luigi. That's made some good memes though.
Should be
being Luigi. It's like I saw the one of like sad Mario.
Should it be like Waluigi?
It's like Luigi. It's like Luigi's brother when he found out that he assassinated. It's just sad Mario. I was like, these are good.
Be interesting if that goes. It'll be interesting when it goes to trial, if or when it goes to trial.
I gotta look more into this case.
How much evidence they have that it's this dude other than he looks like the guy?
That's good enough.
Well, they caught him with a pistol that they say is could be the gun, and also it's a ghost gun, most likely 3D printed. So you're looking pretty guilty.
Does the glove fit?
And he had a manifesto on him.
Someone planted it.
That's all a fucking plant job.
Big plant.
Like who carries their manifesto? Like you, everyone knows you fucking send your manifesto to every news station.
That hit
carried on you.
That hit looked so professional. Gun jams, keeps going, doesn't panic, relaxes. That fucking guy dumped how much stock before this happened?
Before you go any farther, you just gotta. We cold open with that. I don't even know what you're talking about, really. And definitely no one knows what you're talking about.
Everybody knows what we're talking about.
The same way, what are you talking about? What case is it?
We're talking about, I think like 5 days ago, the CEO of like a... United Healthcare was executed in broad daylight by like... You know, a would-be assassin, basically, and the NYPD was
assassin.
Like,
sounds like an assassin.
Yeah, but like, and then the casings the NYPD found, found on him. It had someone had carved in deny, defend, depose, which is like a reference to a book about what these big healthcare companies do, and it's like deny your claim. Like defend the court case.
I've seen the claims that this company denies.
Yeah.
Right.
Is this the movie John Q? Is that what we're talking about?
Basically. Much.
Guy's about as handsome as Denzel. So it works.
It is good. White good Denzel.
Dude. White Denzel.
Jacked.
Handsome dude.
Dude, he's jacked.
Yeah.
I was like, he full six pack on this guy.
That's dedication. The four, you can do it. Six. Fuck.
It's a lot of work. That's a lot of work to look like that. And then you're like, one, you're putting all your time in to look like that. And then your spare time, you're like, I'm writing this manifesto and I'm going to go kill this. I'm going to go assassinate
CEO. He's getting jacked for jail.
Oh yeah.
So get ready.
Preparing.
You gotta be able to clench strong enough when you're in the showers and you job the soap.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll pay more attention to that case and maybe
we might have to cover it later down the road. We'll see.
A deep dive.
We
already did.
Yeah. There it is.
On grinds.
Patreon.
Today
only,
we're kind of going back. We're going back to OG alien figures of
granddaddy.
Like,
this is the granddaddy of UFO encounters, right? Like this is like
Pappy Adamski, basically. Yeah. Yeah. He's a OG. One of the it does look a little bit like Kramer. It's a little bit
Of his pictures figure. I thought this was Kramer actually. I'm not fucking sure.
And it's really split. It's an issue because like half the people are like, fuck George Adamski. He's a con man. And then the other half are like, you can't fake those photos. It's insane. Had the planning he would have to have done before that.
It's Cosmo Kramer.
You're telling me Cosmo Kramer wasn't.
I mean, that's just the Wikipedia. That's the Wikipedia picture of him. So.
Listen, of all the pictures of George Adamski, that they picked the one picture he looks like Kramer because no other picture he looks like Kramer. Just that one.
I mean, that's probably the one they're using to discredit him. Look at this fucking guy. Look at
this Cosmo looking guy. Let's get into him. Why is he a grandpappy of the UFO community?
Like you mentioned, George Adamski is a very polarizing figure in like UFO culture. He is one of the early UFO experiencers, I think is what the title that most people have given to him, where he he claims that he had multiple encounters with not only UFOs but with extraterrestrial and also aboard UFOs as we'll kind of get into thing. But he led like a fairly interesting life over the course, and he became kind of just he became very much a staple of the UFO culture at the very beginning. I mean, you could also credit him with popularizing a lot of UFO, like the encounters and the a lot of like the news story, like news. I mean, national news sources were picking up his stories and his claims and printing them and helping that, you know.
Well, he differentiated himself almost instantly because it wasn't just all of a sudden we had someone who had an encounter that didn't only just see something, but he photographed something and then he actually had a physical encounter with, you know, a Venetian or, an alien. So, like, I think that's what played into the popularity of him, right? He's right off the gates. He set himself apart.
It's pretty much like Roswell in 47 as like the biggest event. And then just a few years later, you got this guy giving you an actual, what he claims is an actual photo.
Well, his encounter was in 47.
His first encounter?
But he didn't come up. Yeah, he didn't. Well, the first time he saw something was in 46, but then his encounter was in 47. But I think he was a little late to share the story. Kind of waited for opportune timing.
So, like, just
we know which side of the fence Andrew's on.
No idea.
So Adamski was born in 1891 was then Bromberg, Germany, which is now Bydgoszcz, Poland. So he was an immigrant.
Wasn't it Prussia back then?
That says it was Poland. I don't know if it was Prussia. I think Prussia was
before. Bromberg, I think, was Prussia.
Bromberg. What I said. Well, it's now Bromberg, Germany, and then it was at that.
Well,
time.
Dan's our German
expert,
German correspondent, German history correspondent,
a German state centered on the North European plain. There you go.
Dan's expertise usually falls between 1917 and 1945, but
Prussia would be considered a portion of Poland was part of Prussia.
Right.
Like northern Poland.
It was Bromberg that portion?
Must have been.
Had been.
So in 1893, his family emigrated to the United States and they settled.
You mean a Polish family leaving Germany? Get out of town. Why would they want to leave? They probably were treated so well.
And from the 1920s and the 1930s, Adamski had moved to California, where he established himself as a philosophy teacher. Not that time. He had an like
what a time to move to California. You're like, show up in the roar 20s. You're like, look at this. Yeah, baby. And then immediately just everything crashes into the worst time in American history. Well,
he joined the army though, which is kind of interesting when he got there initially. And like he fought against Mexico. Like he fought against Pancho mm-hmm. Villa.
Mm-hmm. What?
Like a badass. Yeah, it's badass.
Yeah. So yeah, like when he settled into California, like he established himself as a philosophy teacher, and also a kind of professor.
Self-proclaimed.
Yeah. Like it's not that he had a degree or that he was like a university lecturer. It's just, he kind of said, yeah, I'm a philosophy teacher.
Yeah, dude. Now. Well, listen, I think if you're born, if the year you're born starts with 18, you're grandfathered into the old system of you can just show up in a new town and say whatever profession.
That was the time back then.
Yeah,
that was the time. You could build your own airport. Like you could build your own airport. You could label yourself as.
I've tried it before. It does work, actually.
Yeah. Build your own airport.
Just say whatever. You just show up to a new town. You just pretend to be something. Fake it till you make it. Works.
Yeah.
No. How easy it is to forge documents these days.
Oh yeah, dude, it happened. I'll tell you this, a lot of people in Canada don't really know, we have a huge problem right now with people going into small communities, like really small outlying communities in British Columbia and all over like Canada. And it's a group effort. There's a group of people who are connected and they try to illegally infiltrate like city councils by getting voted in on falsified documents. It's fucking insane, dude.
What, they falsify that they're a doctor or something?
Yeah, and they falsify the nominations and they try to fucking stuff the ballots. It's insane, dude. It's wild.
To get into those city coffers?
Yeah, a couple of people have been caught here and there's like a little bit of a group. There's lawyers that have been disbarred involved. Like it's crazy. It's like this kind of nefarious like group of people, but you know, I digress.
Fake it till you make it. There you go. That's what I mean. Yeah, you 100%. Can do it.
And so I guess you could consider that Adamski made it when he founded what he was known as the Royal Order of Tibet, which was
the Royal Order of the Water Buffaloes.
Yeah.
The name wise.
Tibet. Really? Yeah. Other side of the planet.
Listen, that's genius. Exactly. Other side of the why? Because nobody can prove him wrong for anything. How many people have been to Tibet at this time?
How many people that are from the States? Tibet was
exactly.
They knew.
How are they going to call him on any of his shit?
Scholars would have known only.
All right. Okay. I'm sold. At first, I was like, not a cool name, but I was like, I get the reasoning now. It's like you can't fact check them.
Might as well be the Royal Order of fucking Mars.
So Adamski is also credited like this at this time is when he made a good chunk of change because when he founded the Royal Order of Tibet and had it recognized as like an official religious organization back during Prohibition in the later years, like 30s, you could get government dispensation or government license to produce alcohol.
And why? Because it was religious. The fucking blood of Christ.
It was religious. Yeah.
It's the rivers of Tibet. That's what they're these offering out.
That's part
Let
of our
the rivers run red.
That's part of our religious mantra, actually.
Dude, I'm brewing the wine.
In order to podcast, you need to drink. So we would be
100%.
Yeah.
We're garbage when we're sober.
Listen, I've got probably 45 bottles of red wine, and I got another 30 bottles. I'm going to start.
What do you mean, rivers of Tibet?
Yeah,
rivers. That's what you need to name your wine.
Yeah. What about Rivers Run? And then it's red. Rivers Run?
What if you make it white? Just Rivers Run White?
Shut the fuck up.
Don't think too hard about it.
It'll be the Tibetan River, whatever. just listen. Say, oh, yeah, that's cool.
A good idea.
No critical thinking afterwards, please. No follow-up questions.
Question Q&A is over. Thank you. Yeah. Goodbye. I'm gonna go in bed. So by 1940, Adamski was living on a small ranch near Palomar.
Well, hold on. We can't skip over one thing because he's making a little extra cake off of the fucking wine that he's making during Prohibition, selling it. You know what else he's doing? He's doing mail order telepathy fucking lessons.
That's the best.
As you would.
It's the best.
What?
Yeah.
How does that
so work? Like at the end of the comics, when you can buy your X-ray fucking vision glasses and your decoder rings,
yeah,
you got a picture of fucking Cosmo Adamski.
Yep.
Selling fucking mail order telepathy lessons.
Yeah, but how does that mail order, like, so you
Send in the money and he sends you like lessons on how to use telepathy.
Yeah.
I thought what you meant is you send the money and then he just to you.
Thank you.
That could
thank you very much.
Professor Xavier style. Yeah.
but you know, he from all accounts, he was quite successful for this with the Royal Order of Tibet, like making books, getting people like followers and stuff like that. Like he didn't have a ton of followers, but he had devout followers.
Yeah, but
and like Dan's gonna get into
wine. Just like you're making wine in Prohibition.
Like, well, making money off that. But all like he's got this group of devout followers, and he's got one really wealthy lady that's like really fucking drinking his Kool-Aid, and then
well, they're drinking the wine.
Yeah, drinking the fucking rivers of Tibet.
Yeah.
Yeah, like his Royal Order, like it was all. I mean,
I would send you guys a bottle of Rivers of Tibet if Canada Post would get back to fucking work.
The Royal Order of Tibet was billed as kind of like a neo-theosophical organization. And it was like, Adamski was very successful at like melding like a bit of like the new age spiritualism with like an Eastern flavor, like Buddhism and Hinduism, like kind of put them together into this kind of.
He was really big into Madame Blavatsky.
That yeah,
was like his muse,
which she was big back then too. Because she, Madame.
Oh, we should actually. Oh, yeah. No, we could actually do a case file.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, we definitely.
She's on the list. She's been on my list for a while.
Yeah.
Who is it?
Well, she's like fucking. Girl, find out at episode fucking 345.
So by 1940, Adamski was living over near Palomar Mountain, and then I guess 1944, him and his wife had gotten a small piece of land near the mountain's base where they basically developed it as a campground.
So, one of his devout followers actually purchased this parcel of land.
For his wife.
Yeah. Right.
So his name wasn't even on it.
No.
Honestly, I think that is a legal tactic because it's like, listen, if anyone ever sues me, everything's in my wife's name. So
absolutely
nothing I can do. And as long as
he's a bootlegger.
Yeah. As long as it's in the wife's name before any kind of civil litigation, right. Then it's like, well, no, I don't have any assets. What do you want? I can't pay.
But so they're like they buy this parcel of land at the base of Palomar Mountain, and like they turns into like a commune, right? Like they have a burger shop on the property that they use to fucking pay for all their shit that everybody works at. But it's like a full blown wanderlust fucking commune.
Yeah,
right?
it's a regular yellow deli. Yeah, yellow deli going down there. And he's apparently George is always just fucking hanging out, shooting the shit. Like whenever cooking you go birds. Down there, he's there. He's not even working. He's just hanging out, having coffee, fucking shooting birds. I see him sipping some wine, just red tea.
Dirty birds. Yeah.
Dirty birds for sure.
Along with that burger shop, Adamski had also built like a small wooden observatory on what was like known as like
it's not small. Okay, so say small wooden is not
small-ish.
It's like, big. Like that's a big. If you had that in your backyard, you'd be like, "That's a big observatory. It's a big observatory."
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, it's not as big as the real observatory.
Yeah.
On Palomar Mountain, which is
like compared to relatively, yeah.
Which for like that like a to
private,
me
private telescope though, what he had wasn't like a fucking 16-inch lens or something, like a pretty big.
Well, he had a 6 and a 15-inch.
So a 15-inch lens is like
six huge. Is pretty big too. Okay.
Six, nothing wrong with six
is fucking fine.
Nothing wrong with six.
Is above
six
average, is boys. That's fine.
Nothing wrong with that. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
15 inches is too big.
Too big. You know, some people say
15 inches is that guy you made me look up last podcast. Thing? Fucking Dread.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah. Nothing wrong. Nothing wrong with looking into it.
Not enough baby oil in the world.
But it is here that Adamski's or like it is here that most people agree like Adamski's kind of UFO obsession began on October 6th of 1946. Adamski and some of his friends, which are probably most likely some of his followers or, you know,
group fuck buddies. Of,
fellow believers, claim to have seen a large cigar-shaped, what he titled as a mothership. And most of his, like, his notes and his biographies, he says is some type of, like, this is a large UFO alien craft, while they were also observing a meteor shower at the time.
Which, interesting enough, though, like, there was multiple other people who've witnessed this that come out later, right? Like, it wasn't just them and their friends. Like, this was a pretty popular sighting at the time.
Yeah, with the large cigar shaped.
Yeah, in 46. That mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, so it was other people, like, you know, across, like, California, it's a big state, had reported seeing something kind of, like, normal and within the same time frame. Like, Adamski originally believed this to be some type of, like, observation aircraft. Like, he was skeptical at first. Like, he says that, and he admits that in his, in his biographies and his books, that he was, like, I originally thought it was, when I first saw it, it was just some type of blimp. Like, I thought it was some type of
big old blimp.
Zeppelin or something like that.
I think that's,
until
that's totally reasonable to think
right.
that when you
see it. And you're like, okay, maybe it's just some type of really big blimp. And then all of a sudden, he said that the craft, like, seemed to tilt, like, on its axis and point one end upwards and just immediately accelerate.
Eject itself from the planet.
Yeah, and then it left behind. He said it left behind an illuminated trail that persisted for like 5+ minutes. Like, it's
chemtrail.
Yeah. Starting early,
chemtrail.
So Adamski would, like, in his, so he has a couple of books, and I went through and I read the Flying Saucers one, his first one that he was credited with publishing.
Dan, if you ever assassinate a CEO, when they look at your Goodreads and look at your they'll be like, this guy, he was all over the map. We don't know how to peg him down. He was reading Warhammer 40K, then the next he's reading George Adamski's biography.
It's like they're in the same wheelhouse. So some weeks later, Adamski said that he encountered some, like, while he was kind of talking about this to some of his, you know, some of the people at his burger shop, while he was flipping burgers. And he said that there were some military officers that kind of, like, broke into a conversation that he was having when he was telling people about his sighting. And they were saying that, you know, oh yeah, we know, like, essentially, like, we know about that. And those kinds of craft are not from this world, is what Adamski claims, that they said, like, they confirmed, like, it. Like, it's like, yeah, we know about these kinds of things and they're not from here. Like, they're not from around these parts.
Well, I mean, part of me is like, cause the way I read it, I was like, you know, maybe is it more that the military officers is like, we don't have this kind of capabilities.
Yeah.
And so, like, it kind of leads him to believe, like,
they distinctly said, like, this is not, we don't know what this is and we don't have this type of technology.
Yeah. But that's what it's not necessarily saying that it's space.
It's insinuated.
But they're, like, confirmed him for him, like, implied heavily for him that these are not, well, these craft.
Right
are
at
not
the end of World War II and a few years after, like, that's when aircraft really started to change. Like, he went from the like open cockpit, like, prop planes to jets, and then. Not another 10 years later.
Went from fucking Red Baron
supersonic jets. Yeah. Like, so, you know, after this event is when it kicks off, like, Adamski's, like, true UFO experiencing, where he says that one Friday evening, in the summer.
He hears these guys talking over Bergs. He's sitting there. These government guys are crushing Bergs, and he just hears them talking. And all he sees is just fucking, it's like Scrooge McDuck swimming in his fucking coins. Old Georgie boy's just like, oh yeah, I know what I'm doing. I'm out of the wine business, boys. We're going aliens.
He claims to have, one Friday evening in the summer of 1947, he witnessed 184 UAPs traveling in these groups. He describes them
what
in these
precise
groups of,
number.
Like, 30. I know. It's like 184. They count. Well, he's got his
3, 4, 5, yeah. 6.
Well,
7,
if you had
8,
a 15
9,
inch,
each.
You'd be able to count them pretty accurately too, I guess.
But I think about a 15 inch fucking telescope is anything that's in that lens is out of the frame in like 3 seconds.
I think with the 15 inch telescope just comes confidence to just count these kind of things, like, just off the top of your head.
A lot of confidence would come with 15 inches.
Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you just, you could just say whatever you want. Because you're like, I got 15 inch telescope. I was looking 32. No big deal. And let anyone with a 6-inch telescope is going to be like, well, I don't know.
So what you're saying is George has got big telescope energy?
Big telescope energy.
You don't have to count him, just knows.
BTE, baby. Big BTE.
Wait, so he's claiming to see through the telescope, so...
No. Outer space.
And like, and to be honest, like, listen, as the resident UFO expert who's seen so many UFO videos, I've seen tons where it's like, people are like... they're so like, they'll show flashing lights and it looks like shimmering. It looks like there's, you know, I don't know if exactly 32, but numerous like UAPs kind of like darting across
the sky. Our UFO expert that takes stuff from MUFON and claims it's UFOs. When it's an obvious jet.
what are you talking about? I've never...
To the point where a radio station or something from fucking Japan's reaching out to us to use our video. Did you read that email?
Was that the one with the flares? No. When was that?
They messaged us a few times on Instagram and emailed saying like, hey, we need the rights or where'd you get this video? And I just never responded. I hope they just use it and pretend it's an alien.
$50. It's all yours, $50.
Yeah.
He counted these ones. I guess, you know, Adamski was like a serial sky watcher. Like, I mean, they would go out. I mean, what else you got to do on the side of a mountain and whatever in California? And he would, like, he said that these UAPs, like, they displayed qualities like they were flying in formations. So he was like, these are intelligently controlled craft. These are not just meteors or something like that. And then around this time, like 1949, Adamski began receiving requests to give lectures, like in the local area at first,
professor.
And so he'd go out and give these lectures. And this is also around the time that he would have the photos, like, which he's also known for. So he took a number of photos of what he
said. For purchase at the Burger Shack for $9.99.
Boom.
Yeah.
He received
8x10s or 4x6s, whatever you want. You can get them framed. You can get glossy.
Put it on a t-shirt, put it on a mug, whatever you
mugs.
Want.
And he received requests for these prints of the UFOs that, you know, that he's claimed he had been seeing, and then he had been taking photos. Like, I mean, his whole setup was like he had a camera basically like duct taped to his telescope, so you could see pictures of it, like his old like Kodaks,
yeah,
and just like snapping photos, which is like not ideal. And
it's not like when you say that now, it's not like it was kind of common practice, like on a budget to take photos with your telescope, was to rig it up like this. Like, it wasn't, they didn't have like outside of like really rich where you have a lot of money, they didn't have this setup. So they had Amazon where you could buy adapters and shit to like hook up your cameras. Like, people, that was kind of a regular practice. So when people were making it seem hokey pokey, I was like, it sounds like that now, but like back then it was like, this is how you did it. Like, that's how we were. Listen, they didn't have many adapters for 15 inches. Still don't.
So his photos would go on to be a bit, you know, controversial. Like, there was a lot of talk around these things, but he was like still receiving again these requests to go out and give lectures about his experiences and his sightings. And then it would then be a couple years later in 1952, he would have his first claimed encounter with an extraterrestrial, not just a thing,
but real flesh and blood.
Real flesh and blood extraterrestrial. And we're going to cover that after the break.
Gonna need a drink. We'll be right back. This episode is sponsored by Moo.com.
Hey, dudes, if you're like me and Zell, man, we totally think cannabis should be accessible, affordable, convenient, and transparent, dudes.
Have you heard of Mood.com? They sell federally legal weed, gummies, everything you'd expect from a dispensary, and shipping it right to your door. No Budweiser sweats required.
I'm serious, dudes. You can now get high quality, 100% federally legal cannabis products delivered right to your door without ever leaving your coach. And you can get $30 off your first order at mood.com/alien with promo code alien. Best of all, dudes, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but dudes, as I mentioned, listeners get $30 off their first order, man, with promo code alien, man.
That's right. Head over to mood.com/alien or click the link in the show notes. Check out the dispensary and let Mood help you discover and expand your perspectives.
We're back.
So Adamski quickly becomes known as the kind of, he's like the go-to UFO guy in like California and probably across the country. Like he is, his experiences, his photos, because I mean, his photos are probably a case file in themselves. Like we're not going to cover, an entire comprehensive.
He's a dip into it.
He took, he took pictures of cigar-shaped craft and bell-shaped craft and oval-shaped craft.
Yeah. Some of the most detailed photos of UAPs we've ever seen.
Yes.
And, most, and some people reviewed
almost
them.
Almost too detailed. That. You can say when you look into it with a high-powered microscope. But we'll get into that later.
We can get it. There could probably be a whole Adamski supplemental that we could do. But we're going to talk about...
I want to touch on something, too, because you're talking... Like, he's got photos, and he's got unique experiences, and we're going to talk about one of his extremely most unique
One of his first ones. Yeah, his first one.
But not only that...
We're talking the main one.
Yeah. But one thing about this guy too that we're going to touch on a lot is the fact that like this guy can fucking like he sells. He's so charismatic that people like you want to believe this guy. So it's not just the story; it's the man himself. Like there's something just so trustworthy and believable about this guy that you buy into it.
It's like Bobby Gimlin.
This is the fucking Donald Draper of UFO. Fucking
well, man has his own observatory. You have to.
Totally.
Respect and give him some credibility for having his own observatory. So in August of 1952, Adamski struck up a friendship with the Baileys of Winslow, Arizona, and Dr. George H. Williamson and his wife of Prescott, Arizona.
When you said the Baileys of Winslow, it sounded very like medieval.
The Baileys of Windsor.
Yeah, I was like, I was like, who in the world reads like that? That was the longest pause.
The Baileys, of Winslow.
And then you made it sound like Arizona. No, there's a comma. I put a comma there. Person.
Yeah, I put a comma
that
there.
That was way too long. Did you put three commas before you read that? Because that's the longest pause. The Baileys of Windsor.
Winslow.
Arizona.
These two couples, he struck up a friendship about them. They contacted him, about their UFO experiences and their wanting to experience what Adamski had been, talking about. Like they wanted to see UFOs with him.
Motherfucker, you know who's copying this guy's playbook?
Who?
Who?
What's his name? Greer.
Greer.
Right, like this guy's doing like people like, oh, can you get me a contact? Can I have a contact? He's like, yeah, if you come and pay me some money, I'll take you out and we'll have a experience. Like Greer just took this guy's fucking playbook.
Adamski, had correspondence with these couples, and they were basically setting up a time for an excursion to go out. And they're like, when you're gonna next time that you go out to. Find these to view these UFOs, like, can you take us with us or take us with you? And Adamski was kind of known, I guess, like he in his book, he's talking about he would get feelings, like he would get
I get to feeling.
Yeah. Gets a little Georgie tingle.
He would get a compulsion to be like, this is where you need to go to see these UFOs, according to him. So apparently one of those
to be fair to George, I mean, I've been a huge, like, you got a couple hours to spare, you go keep those eyes in the skies. At night, you'll see some weird shit, clear night.
100%.
100%.
Especially if you want to see something really bad.
Yeah. You put that conscious thought, the aliens pick it up.
Yeah.
So one night, I guess he gets one of these compulsions because it's like 1 a.m. He said he struck out to go find a place to go view UFOs. And he took off with, I think it was like his secretary to drive him. Because there's a weird thing in there that George Adamski says that he never drives on the highway. He never drives himself on the highway is something that he mentioned, which I thought was strange, but I think it's kind of beat March. He would just get, he's like, I had to take my secretary.
Highway driving is easy.
He's like, I had to take my secretary and another lady with me because they had to drive me because I never drive on the highway.
Yeah, listen, every drunk driver knows you don't drive on the highway. Right, that's the way you got to take the back roads, baby.
What are you talking about? They don't set up roadblocks on the highway.
They used to, man. Listen, you take all really? The back ways.
The only place they set up roadblocks in Kelowna is on the bridge, and you have no other option, and you're screwed.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's genius. That was for the West Kelowna guy. It's
genius.
Right, but I'm saying that's why George Adamski, he's always on the red wine. He's like, yeah. I can't be on the highway.
He's got a few different maps in the glove box. He knows where to go.
So he would go ahead and have them drive out to, I guess, like he made a phone call to the two couples and he's telling them like, hey, meet us here, which was like he was heading out to a place like in the middle of the California desert, about 10.2 miles east of from Desert Center, which is a little place in California down there, kind of near the Arizona and California border. And so he was just following his gut feeling, he said, to find the perfect UFO spot. Like he was just having them.
He's got witching sticks, but they're for space.
Well, it's like
it's just the two 15-inch telescopes he just crosses.
The way he describes this is like they get down there and he's like they're just driving and they're like passing mile markers and stuff and he's just like looking around the terrain and just being like there pull off the road here, pull off the road here. This is where it's gonna happen. Right here. And so that's what they do. So they kind of like post up and like they turn off one off the side of the road and like a little like off turn and then just kind of drive out into the desert and then
they have
a nice little picnic. Apparently they have a nice little picnic.
You gotta bring snacks.
Yeah,
you got like, going to the desert. The you got wine.
They got wine.
He's
for
like,
sure.
I'll bring the wine.
Yeah. Apparently they busted a tire too. Like they had to actually buy a new tire like on their way to this viewing spot when they like busted like ran over a nail or something. I was like, this is the worst road trip almost. It's like, what if we busted a tire on the way to like Area 51? Like we would have been stuck out in that desert for like God, yeah. Day.
We'd be still there, dude. There was no one out there.
No one out there.
Ain't nobody stopping.
We would have been sitting out there with the fucking white Jeep Grand Cherokees chasing us, being like, where do you want us to go, man? You can't do anything. Our tires are popped.
And so they So when they're sitting there, like Adamski, like gets this, you know, he gets this feeling and he like looks up into the air and he sees what they described. Like they saw like a two rotor plane, like a very conventional two rotor plane, which actually seemed to follow the cigar shaped object, which he said he recognized as the same one or, you know, of the same design that he had seen earlier, that he had like his first UFO sighting. He's like, he had this feeling that this was the same ship. Like this was the same UFO that he had seen before. And so as he sees the ship, he gets like another feeling where he says like, I need to go over here. Like I need to go where that ship is, like the general location that I see it. And I need to go by myself. Like I need someone to drive me over there. So he has his secretary who is with him, Lucy McGinnis, drive and drop him off in the like right near where this, they had seen the ship and then
by himself.
Like by himself. And then like, he's like, you guys need to leave me here. Like you guys go back to the road, and then come back here in a set amount. I think he said like an hour and a half or something. Come back. And then,
you know what it sounds like? It sounds like, what was that? Lucy McGinnis. It sounds like all these people are on shrooms and Lucy McGinnis was the chauffeur driving around. I've done this with Zell. I've done this exact same thing with Zell.
Same scenario.
This exact same scenario. He's like, yeah, you got to leave me over here. I'll be like, I'll be back for you. Don't worry. No matter how scary it gets, I'll come back for you.
And I need to get out. I need to get off right here. Right here.
It's either that or it's like you want to like completely make up a story.
No, nonsense, Andrew.
No.
No.
Don't do that.
No. Why would he do that? Right.
The photos, dude.
The photos. Yeah, the photos. I don't know. Well, he gets photos of this, right?
Yes.
He does, yes. Shortly afterwards, so he sees this cigar-shaped craft be chased off by a two-prop craft, which probably military. We're not really sure. That's what he's saying. After it leaves the area, he said, like, in a few minutes later, a smaller bell-shaped craft descended and landed a short distance away from where he was standing. Like, he watched it come down, like, behind, like, two, like, right in between, like, two hills.
Fucking DeGlocka. Like,
pretty much, man.
Very similar design.
We've seen that bell shape. So, like, when you see the shape that it's described, I mean, like, what's the one, Rendlesham, I think of? Like, there's so many.
I mean, it's very, it's UFOs. Like that, when you see the photo, like, that Adamski is famous for, like, that ship, in which he kind of identifies as the one that he saw, it's very UFO. I mean, there's a Transformer based on that UFO. Like, there's a Transformer character based on UFO.
Let's see, I'm not sure if this is the actual one or not, but.
It's the one with the three... The three little ball landing ones. It's that one. Yeah.
The three light bulbs.
Yeah.
So it is, it's a saucer with a,
let's say, GE,
like a top, you know, like a cockpit kind of, and then three little orbs on the bottom. Like a little landing. Yeah. Are there, is that landing gear? I don't know.
That's what he assumes. As this craft, like, landed, like, Adamski's like, okay, well, I didn't have time to take a photo of the craft, like, itself, but I took a couple, like, he took photos of, like, the terrain of, like, where this was occurring. And, like, he has those pictures, and, like, where it happened. And then after he takes these photos, Adamski says that he noticed a man standing in the distance, like, in the direction of where that he had seen that craft. Wait, come down.
Don't
and land.
Say.
And who's it's that? And he said that man was standing there and was waving at him, like, it was, motioning towards him. And Adamski is skeptical at first. He says he kind of has a feeling. He's like, who is this person?
He does the old who me, like, they all look
looks around.
Yeah, me, the man in the middle of the desert, the only person,
the only other person, me,
like the only person, like a mile and a half radius.
He's like, I got the feeling this entity was looking for me. It's like, who else was he fucking looking for? There's no one else there, dude. It's just you.
From this distance, Adamski, like, describes, like, the kind of the outfit that he was wearing. He's saying he's wearing, like, it's just like these, what looked like be like brown ski trousers, like, is what he was wearing, like a whole, like, one suit,
like an overall kind of thing.
Yeah, this is what he had described. And it, like, wasn't I think a silver it had some suit? Type of sheen. It had like some type of sheen to it, I think. Like, it's not like just, you know, just regular brown. It's like had like a kind of coppery sheen to it, I think, as some of the descriptions have described. And when he sees this thing at first, he's like, in his head, he's like, he lists out his thought process in his book about being like, I thought this guy, he doesn't look unusual. And also he's like, this guy might be, maybe he's out here looking for rocks. Cause I guess that was a popular pastime. And probably still is, where it's like your rock hounds, where you go out there and you look for interesting rocks.
My kid's always looking for rocks. Always.
No, I still like, to this day, finding rocks and then smashing them open to see what's inside.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Oh, so. Yeah. Andrew's got his rock collection too. If I'm by a body of water, I'm 100% looking for skippers.
Of course.
So Adamski approached this man, and he was kind of like, he said he felt this kind of generally mounting nervousness at first. He's like, I don't know who this person is, you know, feeling, you know, a bit of trepidation of being like, I'm approaching this man in the middle of the desert. I don't really know. But he says,
so that, just the regular social anxiety you get when having to talk to any stranger.
Yeah.
Ever. Is that,
yeah.
Is that
but here's the thing. Would you rather talk to a stranger at the grocery store, or would you rather talk to somebody that you went to high school with that you don't talk to and haven't talked to for 10 years?
Full stranger. I'd rather kill myself.
I do full stranger for sure. I would take full stranger for sure.
Full stranger.
Full stranger, 100%.
Not one of those like, oh, hey, haven't seen you in a while. Like, what are you up to? You still working at the mill?
You don't recognize them?
And so he said he got this, like, as he approached closer to the figure, he said there's a certain point that the feelings of nervousness that he felt just fell away. Like, it was a very noticeable
Yeah, because like, this guy's so fucking handsome. That's what happens when you talk to beautiful people.
Yes.
Like, honestly, this is how anyone would have
nervous.
Felt.
This when you talk to hot people.
No. They just have that calming presence. It's like Zell circa 2005, right? Before he fell off.
No, give me, right, up to, give me 2008.
Was that 2008. Peak Zell, 05?
Peak Zell.
No, 2008 was peak.
No, I knew you in 08, 2008, I think.
And it was coming down. It was already on the...
No, 2008 was... That's, that was 20-year-old that Zell. That was, no, that was peak Zell. 20. Was it? 20 was peak. It's been all downhill since then.
Yeah, motherfucker crashed harder than crypto. He's straight down. Welcome to the club, buddy.
Here we are.
Welcome to the club.
So you're not wrong about
that. You can't crash if you never peaked, buddy.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like now he's in the gutters with the rest of us.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah, welcome.
Yeah.
So
we're like the fucking dead people in the sea of Hades and Hercules pulling you down.
Yeah. Come to us.
I don't mind it down here.
Come to us. Ugly.
What is it? You're the combination of three people you hang out with, and that's why look at how ugly you got. Through osmosis. It even affects you virtually.
You dragged
right?
it down.
Sucked right out of me.
Sucked the life right out of him. Look, you can see it. He's pale. He's actually paler from the eyebrows up. It's insane.
Yeah, I'm actually a little bit tan from Mexico still, if you be honest.
Yeah, your face is. Your forehead is white.
Well, I wore a hat the whole time.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
But it does give you the appearance that the life is draining from your body.
You should see my thighs.
Yeah, there's no life there.
It's gone.
Yeah, listen.
Ghost town.
If you start showing your thighs and we start getting a glimpses of the 15-inch telescope, we're on we're back, baby.
Yeah, let's go.
You gotta do what you gotta do for views.
Yeah.
Fucking right.
So Adamski, as he got close enough, yes, Braden's not wrong about the beauty part, because when he gets close enough to kind of make out the features of this man, in his book, like a direct quote is, "The beauty of his form surpassed anything I had ever seen." No, that was not the quote.
I will say it was mentioned that this man had Middle Eastern features.
So he was tan.
What is that? Like tan with bushy eyebrows?
Yeah, pretty much.
I read somewhere that he had fucking Middle Eastern features with blonde hair.
Nothing wrong with Middle Eastern guy. Good looking guy. Tall, dark, and handsome.
Time boat. There you go.
I wrote in my notes, hands touching hands. I'm like, hands touching hands.
Because
when Adamski.
Reaching out.
Adamski meets this man touching and
completely touching.
Well, he tries to like talk to him.
He tries to talk to him
and he can't. There's no understanding.
He has to adjust
there.
First because.
Well, he seems like he can't understand English.
Meeting a man so handsome that you try to touch him.
Right? Like, wow.
Well, he reaches out to shake his hand and, you know, just the instinctive greeting of, you know, Western. He's like, it reaches out to shake hands, but the man kind of motions. It's like, we don't do that. And he just kind of puts his palm out and then, you know, Adamski says he kind of instinctually understands that they just kind of like touch hands. So I just like,
you're going to wave off a handshake and then you're going to touch hands. And there's no difference. And, unless it's one of those things. Remember that motherfucker who like shook the alien? Who is that? That went to shake his hand.
Oh, it was awesome.
Yeah. Gave a shake. Yeah. And so this guy's like, I don't want that to happen.
That was a good one.
It was a while ago. Blimp one in the desert or something. Another one in the desert.
Too strong.
Where he goes to shake him and just shakes the guy's whole body.
Oh, the alien weighs like 20 pounds.
He's like, maybe that's why he was like, no.
Like,
I don't want to. You're going to physically shake me. He's just like, we'll just a little high five here.
And so Adamski is quoted as saying, "The flesh of his hand to the touch of mine was like a baby's, very delicate in texture, but firm and warm. His hands were slender with long tapering fingers like the beautiful hands of an artistic woman. In fact, in different clothing, he could easily pass for an unusually beautiful woman."
He's already prepping you. He's justifying it. He's like, listen, if he was bent over, you wouldn't be able to tell.
Yeah, but this guy's so hot, you don't want him to be mental.
Yeah, you don't want him. He's like,
face to face.
You want face to face. Yeah.
He sounds very traditionally attractive. He's suntan skin, round face, large gray-green eyes, finely chiseled nose, beautiful white teeth that flash when he smiled, apparently. That's what Adamski's quote saying. And he has this
old Georgie's got some underlying homosexual tendencies. It's not a bad thing.
Nothing wrong with it.
That's fine.
All George was saying is that if you put him in missionary, legs together, you're not seeing anything. Who's to say? Right? That's all George is saying.
What George is saying is the guy was so attractive, it doesn't matter. He guy could have been in any position.
Doing it. This guy has just like the sandy, luxurious hair.
All this man had to do was say, George,
like I just on your knees. Really,
it's like that Fabio shit. Remember that guy? The guy hit in the face of the bird on the roller coaster?
you're in the desert alone. You're like, well.
No one's gonna know. Adamski tries to converse with them. Like once he gets his wits back from this, laying eyes on this beautiful, beautiful man, Adamski tries to like communicate and tries with speech first. And he gets the idea, he gets from the motions that the facial like body language is that this man does not understand English.
But fortunately, Dan, very, very, very fortunately, our boy Georgie here just happens to be an expert in telekinesis.
Right. He's the mail order telekinesis. Like,
oh my gosh. What are the chances?
you get what I'm saying?
I tell me shut the fuck up.
So Adamski says that he resorted to telepathy. He's like, I know of telepathy technique, so I'm gonna try to communicate with my mind about what I'm trying to put out there, and then also use my hands and
so sign language is what he was using. He was using sign language,
not even good sign language, I would say, because
as he's sitting there,
me. And you together.
I don't know how this one works out. Because so the one that they talk about, they discuss in a lot of videos, is like he's like to try and to figure out, he's like, I want to figure out where he's from. So I'm going to draw a circle with my hand in the air, like around the sun. I'm going to indicate the sun, draw one circle, and then I'm going to be like Mercury, and then another circle, Venus, and then another circle, Earth. And you're like,
And that's not a bad idea. Listen, that's not a bad idea. I remember watching a video that it was like a contactee's guide if you were to run into extraterrestrials. And it said one of the things it said to do is because they will most likely have an understanding of the stars because they're traversing the stars. And so you want to convey that we have some sort of intelligence, that you should draw a circle for the sun, a circle for Mercury, and then point to our planet, the third planet from the sun. And once you draw it, point to us and then point to yourself. And like, that's us. So like they know that we have an understanding of the solar system. Right.
Yeah.
And from there, it was based.
But sometimes, but species. But sometimes, like the planets, like are not like because I mean, in traditional model of the universe, yeah, you have the concentric circles, but like now,
but
one
it's,
is like
it's all
they're all over the place. They're all over the place, and like they can be in different orbits. But I'd be like, okay, So so from doing this,
they'd be like, okay, ugly monkey, we know what you're trying to say.
But apparently it was successful because he got, after a few attempts, the visitor apparently indicated that he was from Venus, like when in the second. So, it did the same thing, mimicked him, and then did two circles, and then he said Venus, which
but see, the thing is though, then when I read that, I was just like, but he drew his own circles. It would have been different if he went to like George's circles and was like,
You mean where did Georgia's circles? They're not there. He's just drawing the eye. But like, he's doing the fucking Disney Channel bullshit.
So, but in his, like for this one, I was like, yes, George is perceiving it as Venus, but I perceived it as he's just saying that he's the second planet from his sun. Like,
right. Yeah, it could be something like that.
That's what I got from it. Because I was like, I don't necessarily think that that's the case.
A lot of this information would be confirmed later. Most of this is from George Adamski's like first book. In his second book and later, he visits
expands
with this,
on this the extra, real well, details of the encounter. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
He meets him later, but that's for the sequel. But so anyways, in this conversation, their first meeting, George is basically, they're communicating like via telepathy / hand motions. And like, it's not even like a clear telepathy where it's like speech or, you know, English, like he's speaking with. It's like, it's basically like, he's like, oh, this guy was just making these hand motions. And apparently through these hand motions. Can we just take
telepathy out of it?
There was pretty much no telepathy.
No, there was one way telepathy. The alien could read his mind completely fine, but it was just laughing at his attempt of silence.
Yeah. It was just like
he knew everything this monkey was saying,
right? And Adamski gets the, you know, from these hand motions and their, you know, charades, basically. This visitor,
how many were?
Sounds like Venusians are concerned with radiation coming from the Earth from atomic testing. Yes, two.
That is some good charades. That is some good charades.
He nailed it. But that's what he got from this extraterrestrial. That he's like, why are you guys here? And, you know, somehow communicating this with his hands. And the man,
I like to think that he just burst into like interpretive dance at one point.
He was able to say like, and then Adamski was like, you know, is it the atomic weapons we've been detonating? And then the alien was like, boom, boom.
Bingo.
He was able to do that at least. But boom, he said, boom, boom. And he's like, yeah, yes.
Goes
boom,
to dynamite.
Boom. Like that's what he communicated. Definitely was like, that's what is why they're here, observing humans.
That's highly advanced communication.
Big bada boom. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. They're
boom,
like
boom, boom.
Big all this boom. Sign language and telepathy and everything. They were very like-minded. George and this being, like this being subscribed to a lot of the same ideas that the fucking Ministry of fucking Tibet or whatever the hell they're called did as well.
Yeah.
Very, you know, so they were very like on the same page. Philosophical. Very philosophical. It was very interesting. It's like you were able to find the one fucking telekinetic guy that's got the same fucking
Adamski said he asked him like, do you believe in, like, specifically, do you believe in God? And the alien's like,
how do you sign that? Again, he doesn't speak English, right? So when George is saying that, like, oh, he has
telekinesis,
bruh, I'm like, but that's not working because he describes it not working. They're communicating with hands.
Like an abstract.
So George is Polish. I assume they're very much like a lot of other Europeans that talk with their hands. So they just come along with it fucking naturally.
Yeah. So what I think has happened is that George has just been like, this guy's trying to like do gestures back to George. And George is just like, we have the exact same ideas. He's just using it as like, this is the same philosophy I have. But like, really the guy's like, hey,
and so, and then conversation, like Adamski would get from this man, from the extraterrestrial, that this saucers that had been shot down in Roswell or had crashed, or the reports
couldn't
of crash,
have that those, been the boom boom, like
maybe,
you know what I mean? Like,
but that's that confirmed to Adamski that these that we have recovered alien craft, like they have been shot down by humans, or they have crashed. Like I think it's not necessarily that we shot them. Like maybe some had been like damaged, but some of these craft had some sort of problems and then
like
crashed.
The term boom boom. Like I don't think that
I think
I would never
that was
be like,
I think that was directly referring to in their conversation to atomic bombs.
That's
for sure.
I'm just saying that he said that, and he's like, it must be atomic bombs because they.
You're not giving enough credit to the telekinesis happening in this fucking situation. Yeah.
Like George is like, nyan, 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 like just like,
ween, 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 ween. Yeah. These guys are mind fucking each other. Okay.
Good thing they weren't hostile, man. We would have had a
battle. But you've seen Demolition
Man.
Yeah. You've seen Demolition Man, right? Where they put on the headsets.
Yeah.
That's what's happening.
Okay. John Spartan.
Young Sandra Bullock. My god,
Sandra Bullock is his daughter.
I'm gonna make Jamie watch
Huxley. Was it Huxley?
It was Huxley, yeah. For
yeah,
Brave New World.
But no, I just think I just like the boom boom. I was like, I was like, could that be like, he has no idea. We have George.
He does have an idea though. He writes a fucking book about it.
Yeah.
He has a whole story from this. They had a whole full fucking conversation.
Big book. Well, it's like the last 20 pages of the first book. Yeah. He's like, it's this whole, he lays this whole out. So now after they've communicated, they've had this very enlightening conversation via hand gestures. The alien, the extraterrestrial, like motions, like, George to like come with him. He's like, come with me. And he shows him over to like behind the little gorge over here where his ship is waiting. His translucent bell shaped craft.
You got to think George is sitting there being like, why did I tell my friends not to come? They're shitting their pants right now.
Yeah, fuck. I wish I had a witness.
They're never going to believe me.
Like this craft is hovering there.
They paid me to have this experience and I'm having it without them.
He said this craft was like hovering above the ground. It's not actually like touching the ground. He said it was like translucent. Like he said that he could make out like moving figures within the ship, like moving around inside. Like it's like almost like glass, but he couldn't like quite make out exactly like if they were male or female or whatever. But you know, he describes the three ball landing gear from the photo. So it is like this craft, essentially, because he would see it later. And then there's an interesting bit where Adamski, you know, as they're approaching this craft, like Adamski's like slightly in front of the extraterrestrial. And he says he got close to like underneath like where the craft was sitting. And he said he felt this like pull, like all of a sudden, like, and I would describe it because it's like some type of like gravity field where it like wrenched his arm down and up in like different directions. And then the extraterrestrial had to like physically grab him and pull him away. Which also caused, which also apparently like caused the extraterrestrial to cut its hand like on the edge of the ship, like it was sharp enough to cut. And then he saw that the visitor like had bled red blood. So that confirmed to him like it was
guess what, boys?
If it bleeds, you know what
that means? It
means they're it dies.
I was gonna say like what's his name? That's there. It's just a guy from the future, man. Come back to visit.
Just us from the future?
Yeah.
So we get sexier as the time goes on?
Of course we do. Fucking gene, CRISPR.
CRISPR. Oh, everyone's like the same. Everyone looks hot.
So and then nobody cares because everybody's hot.
Just everyone's like, looking exactly like Zell circa 2005, 2008.
Wait, so everyone's so good looking in the future that we come back to find dad bods? And like,
yeah, and we fuck them.
And then we fuck them because that's
the new kink.
That's a novelty. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Fucking ugly people.
well, I heard with the times.
I was ahead of the times in my 20s for sure.
Yeah.
Did a lot of that.
Well, I heard it's coming back in because with grocery prices and inflation, that people are going to start finding chubbier people way more attractive.
Because they have the money.
It's a sign of wealth again. Exactly. Look at that. It's coming back. That. Yeah.
Except the problem with that is that
an investment.
The problem with that is the cheapest food is the most fattening. The cheapest, most processed food is the cheapest food to eat and will make you gain 5 pounds a week.
Calories in, calories out, buddy. Don't eat a lot. You won't gain a lot.
Oh, this fucking food is awesome.
This guy's the beacon of health over here. He knows what's up. Is a challenge over?
No, I'm 25 down though. So
that's good.
So what you're saying is you're one fucking can of fucking cream of mushroom ramen away from getting back up there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and these other guys gave up instantly. Like they're crushing. Yeah,
cause you're the fucking, donuts. What's the guy's name? Orthon. You're the ortho of your friend group. Over
you know
there.
What the, you know what the, you're the hot guy. They both got so demoralized so quickly that it almost demoralized me to continue losing weight. Buddy, there was like not
how does
enough
it feel
competition.
Like you're the unattainable bod. They look at you and they're like, well, fuck, I wish. One day. Fuck, one day. If I look like that guy, I'd never leave the bedroom.
You know what he said to me? You know,
just
what my,
fucking
you know what he said?
Fury jerking.
You know what he said to me? He goes, you tailor your shirts? And I go, no. And he goes, why are they so tight on your bicep then? I went, just, I don't know, buddy. Just
some fucking jacked. Jack. That's why.
I'm fucking Triple A pure beef, dude. I don't know. I'm wearing a shirt two sizes too small. How about that? Maybe that's
the problem. You. I love it.
I buy extra mediums.
Yeah. I was like, I'm wearing. I am extra medium. I can't even. There's a top button. I can't do that up. That thing's never getting done up.
Brain buys double XL shirts, but they have medium biceps. So they just get real tight. Sleeves. Yeah. They just come really tight on the arms.
Yeah.
It's tight in the traps and the arms. And then they just fucking.
And then just, it just like, balloons out.
It's a
bell
bottom. Yeah. Basically, it's a bell bottom shirt. Bell bottom
shirt. new fad. Look.
Yeah. It's good.
So apparently while they're having that conversation in front of the ship, Adamski has like suffered some type of injury. Cause he said it would like bother him. Like he would have trouble with his arm, like for months after this.
Yeah. He was like fucking Ace Ventura 2 for a bit there. Right. Like he was just flopping around. He couldn't use it. It was like paralyzed.
Yeah. And so, after that happens, like Adamski realizes like he's got the photographic plates in his front pocket, that he had been taking from the camera that he had been taking photos with. And like, he reaches into his pocket to take one out to kind of check. Cause he's worried. Cause to him, like his theory about how this craft is working is some kind of magnetic principles, and maybe they had like had ruined the film. So he takes it out to kind of inspect them. And then, as Andrew mentioned,
I think we glazed over the fact that like what he had his camera rig set up on the telescope. And when he was seeing these crafts, he snapped like as fast as he could, as many pictures as he could.
Yeah. I thought we mentioned it quick, right?
I don't know.
We talked about he was taking photos like during the time. And so he has the photo plates like in his pocket, and he takes one out, and then the visitor like reaches out indicating that he would like one. Indicating
he's
to a dance,
I'll buy one.
Like,
and that's when he clicked. He's like, everyone's gonna want one of these.
So Adamski, you know, hands one over because, of course, like, it just gives one to him.
Yeah,
and so apparently, and then the visitor, like, it kind of just smiles and then, like, kind of waves and indicating that, you know, it's time to go. And he stepped around behind the craft. So Adamski wasn't really sure how he got into it. To this day, isn't sure how he kind of got into the craft, but he said that maybe there was like, he stepped behind the craft, and a few moments later, the craft started lifting up into the air. It turned, and he said he might have saw like some type of like aperture door, where he believes that that's where he would have stepped in, and it took off. Like it just took off into the air, gone. Adamski like looked at his watch, or you know, indicated that he checked the time, like how long it had been. It had only been 60 minutes since he had left his friends. And then when he was like, okay, I need to like go and look around the area, he said that he found actual footprints. Like I think he has photos of the footprints that were left by the visitor.
With like because super fucking intricate sole pattern.
Yeah.
And lucky for them, fucking Lord Bailey of Winslow just happened to bring fucking
Blaster of Paris.
Blaster fucking of Paris.
Just in case.
Just had it.
Just in case.
That was amazing to me too, because I was fortunate. Like, wait, who carries around plaster? Are you just like carrying
Lord
them?
Fucking Bailey?
Unless you're hunting for Bigfoot. Unless you're hunting for Bigfoot, like
it's Arizona,
you're carrying around plaster of Paris. But I guess you had some on hand, and they made casts of the footprints that they have. And I will say those footprints, like having some type of design at the bottom, kind of looks like our logo.
It kind of looks like when I saw it, it kind of reminded me of like the Saiyan logo. You know, like the King Vegeta logo, trident with the little circle.
Okay, yeah.
Half circle.
Can I tell you guys something? Like as much as we're making fun of people having casting materials now, I have casting materials.
Ever since that one Bigfoot
in your fucking pocket all the time.
Yeah.
You go Bigfoot hunting. Yeah.
That's and I didn't. Oh. I forgot to cast Roman's foot. I have a little box that has just casting. It's ready to go. So if I go on a hike, I got casting stuff. I'm like, I'm casting.
You got it because you wanted to cast Roman's foot?
And then I never did. So now
that's why he bought it. Yeah, that's why you have Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Nothing. Yep. Yeah, but I'm keeping it for Bigfoot.
Right.
It's not going to be enough plaster for Bigfoot.
And in a couple more years, Roman will have a Bigfoot, and then I'll plaster it. It's going to be a fucking
His foot is probably the same size. Huge. He's a monster.
Yeah.
So like a few days, like not even a few days later, like after this encounter happened and Adamski like told his, you know, his traveling companions, like what had happened, November 24th, like just like the day after they went into Phoenix, which was the largest, like the kind of closest largest city. And they went to the Phoenix Gazette, the local newspaper, and that were able to get them to publish along with Adamski's account and the, like the corroboration from the people that had went with him, you know, the
paper, because they were viewing like, from a distance.
Right. And the, but they saw they the craft view, and
they saw the craft, something. They viewed from a distance and they wrote affidavits.
Yeah. And they backed him up. That. And so yeah. the paper was like, okay, well, you know, with Adamski and with that, that corroboration, we'll print this, because they were really hesitant just to take Adamski on just his word by himself.
Didn't he send the photos to a university as well?
He did. Like he did send some of these photos to a university and then like never heard back from them.
No, he did.
Yeah. He
did.
Sent them to those two guys. I can't bury in something other. Yeah,
oh, were they like the Navy electronics? That, those
something
guys?
Like yeah, that.
Those and two they, dudes and they never got back to him.
And they never got back
well,
to
no,
him.
There was someone came back to him. There was, he sent them to some university for, to look at, and they looked the photos, and when he returned the photos, they were like, there's six or seven that have like, they're just so blurry. They're just fucking, they're literally nothing. It's because he was shooting at such rapid speed on a telescope that like he like in interviews was like, I was hoping I was getting some and I knew someone would get wrecked. And I was like, this is before like the, like we had like computers that could, you know, enhance these photos or anything. Enhance. So like one of these universities was like, these are terrible. Can we just get rid of them? And he's like, sure.
Yeah. He's just like, so throw them away. All right. Yeah.
So they sent him all the ones that they thought were good, mm-hmm. and just disposed of the ones that
all the
they
other ones
had deemed yeah. that were blurry. And yeah. The only reason I bring that up is because again, these photos are taken before we had any kind of ability to like enhance these images
or
go in. And like some of the interesting things with this photos is that later on with with computers and stuff, we can enhance these photos.
Some of these photos
like show like in the enhancements show like some sort of cigar shaped object. They show like a bell shaped object. They show a face that looks like kind of like Orthon, like in the rocks, like distorted.
They also show that one, zoom in really close and you can see GE on the fucking light bulbs on the landing equipment. So
here's another interesting point. So
that's coincidence.
That's not that run of photos though. The original run of photos is like the one with the GE is some of our later photos. And I think it's again, the interesting thing with this one for me is that he doesn't know that in the future you're going to be able to enhance these images and check
and
like double check these things. So
it wasn't even in the future. They did it like
these first round of photos with the Orthon. I'm like, when I look in the enhancement, they're like, there's a cigar shaped image. There's that later photos that he takes. Yes. They enhance and they're like, that's a light bulb, motherfucker.
I will
like,
say something, Aaron. So Braden and Andrew, they are referring to Orthon, who is the apparent name of the visitor. Now, Adamski didn't know the name. He couldn't communicate. He didn't ask for the name of the visitor when they first met. He actually got the name later. And it's not even the name that he tells us in the second book. That's the name that Adamski gave to him. Like that's not even the visitor's like name. Real name. Like yeah, it's not his real name. Jeff. He's a name he gave him. Well, there's Jeff. Like Orthon. There's Orthon. There's another one like Kirkon from Mars. And there's like
Romulan.
Yeah, from Saturn.
They're like, all siblings from different planets.
They're all from the interplanetary.
All very George Lucas-y fucking.
You know.
Friendly.
One I think the second full, book is
fully
a lot more
was
fun.
8 feet tall and full of hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the story would take off. It got printed in the local newspaper. It got printed across a bunch of, news lines picked it up after it got out in there. So, you know, Adamski is out there again, becoming very famous as that UFO guy. So December 13th, just a few months later, that same year, 1952, Adamski said he was in his, you know, at his ranch in Palomar, hanging out with his, you know, Tibet buddies. And he said that on that ship, that same ship that Orthon had boarded, came, and he's like, that's the same ship. Apparently it hovered, it stopped, hovered 100 feet above where Adamski was sitting, and he said he saw apparently like a opening open up, an arm reach out and throw something. And he said it, and when he got it, he said it was the photographic plate that he had given to the visitor.
What more evidence do you need?
Just chucked out the window. Just like,
more evidence is coming, though.
Just you're able to harness gravity and, you know, travel many times the speeds of light, but to deliver a photographic plate to somebody, you just throw it out fucking the window from 100 feet.
It's still the most direct method to this day. You know, throw it at somebody.
Just chuck it out the window.
Like, yeah, nothing like a good saucer.
Drones, none of that bullshit. Roll it throw down. It at them. Manual just cranks, you know.
Frisbee it.
All those spaceships, all those like UFOs are all analog technology, because we know if you go through the Van Allen belt, all your digital technology fries. So it's got to be all analog.
So it's like it had like a roll down window that it was like the
hand crank for sure.
And then I just chucked it out the window. It was like,
you got a whole bunch of guys on like Pelotons fucking down this fucking thing.
So Adamski said he recovered the photographic plate, and then it had been replaced, and people can look it up. Like, apparently the photo that he had taken got overwritten with some type of cryptographic message, which has not been decoded. So another
to piece this of day, it's
Venusian.
The Venusians, those but damn again, Venusians.
Venusians.
I think this is one of those ones where, in my opinion, this is one of those ones where guy has weird experience and then he tries to capitalize it on after, and he's like, I'm going to just keep having them, and I'm going to start. And then he makes them up after that, because like,
I genuinely believe he saw something in 46. I genuinely think when he was out looking at meteors, I think he saw the cigar shaped thing. And then after that, all he saw was money signs.
Yeah. Well, I think I actually think this Orthon encounter, like, may have been like, he was, you know, he was kind of jumping on the UFO craze a little bit. He has this experience and he's like, holy shit, now I can, because like, the thing for me is like, if you're going to say that.
So you think the Orthon thing's legit?
I do think the original Orthon thing, and just because of the photos. And the thing with the photos is again, you can't plan how good like technology gets. Like, again, some of his photos of other crafts and stuff, GE light bulbs, like their fucking appliances,
rocket appliances,
they're faked, right? Because of how good at technology we are. But the problem with these blurry fucking Orthon photos and shit is the enhancements only show they're like, if the sky shows like a blurry fucking cigar shape, a blurry fucking bell shape, a blurry fucking face. There's no way that he was like, well, blurry, you know, face. Hold on, someone dress up there. Like, there's an Orthon face. If you look in those original
photos.
I've
seen it. It doesn't, like, I don't know.
But it's like, you can't. If you type an Orthon face photo, you just get infinite photos of Randy Orton.
Nice. Win.
I hear voices in my head. They talk to me. They talk to me. They talk to me. But like, that's the thing for me, is like, you can't like, there's no way he would have outplanned technology in those original photos, because he gets caught later on fucking making fake photos of different things close up, trying to make it look like ships. And well, it's appliances.
That James Mosley guy that does the expose on him, like, gets on his ass right away and starts disproving him, goes, finds the Baileys and whoever else that he was with in the fucking desert. And they admit that, oh yeah, we didn't see anything. Those affidavits were bullshit. The Bailey says, well, I just saw a bright light and I, you know, just went along with it. You got the one guy. So in the book, the flying saucers are here, or whatever it was, mm-hmm, right, mm-hmm. Dan?
Yeah, that first one, yeah.
somebody else posts, like submits a picture of the same craft to legitimize Adamski's story. So this fucking Mosley guy goes and talks to him. That was bullshit. He owed Adamski money for living on his property. And he told him, I want you to fucking submit this as your own to credit, you know, to, you know, lend credibility to my story. Like, the guy is a fucking career grifter. Good at it, does a good job. And, you know, anything that this guy produces to me, I can't take any fucking legitimacy to it.
The main takeaways that I get from this case is that I kind of skimmed through the second book, which is titled Inside Spaceships. The first book, Flying Saucers, is actually, most of it's not Adamski. Like, Adamski has the last 20 pages, and the rest is like another guy. And it's basically all like ancient alien stuff, which is all kind of fun to read. But the Adamski stuff's at the very end. But Adamski has a second book, Inside Spaceships, where he details another set of encounters that he would have with Orthon and then his other buddies in Bravo. LA. He met these dudes in Los Angeles, like just like hanging out
at a diner.
Yeah. And but the main takeaways I would have is that all aliens are hot, and Earth is this galaxy's Australia from their description. Apparently, like, they just dropped off all their troublemakers from their intergalactic organization. They're like, these people would like didn't really fit in with our whole philosophical, so we dropped them off on Earth with nothing and just like let them hash it out. And that's what you get humans.
Are you saying we're all criminal? We're all descendants of criminals.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's what that seems to be. It's like they just dropped us all.
I mean, I think we all point our descendant of criminals. We are all related to one guy.
Yeah.
What shitty bastard, for sure.
100%. Yep.
Yeah. But like I said, Adamski is was and is a polarizing, very polarizing figure from UFO. Lord.
I'm sold. I think he's standing. Legit. I think he fucking talked fucking, what was his name? Orthonk.
I think that original, Randy I think that original Orthonk. One is a legend. I think that's a legend.
How can you take any credibility to anything this guy fucking says? He like, he's got all the major red flags. He's fucking slanging books, pictures.
No, because he would do exactly what I would do, right? That's why I believe him.
He's 100%. Monetizing everything.
100%.
He started a fake religion so he could fucking bootleg wine.
Andrew, how are you going to do what you love to do if you can't sell it? All right? How are you going to do what you love to do if you can't sell it?
Here, the thing is, I think he, those, again, the photos for me, it's like, it's hard to pre-plan. Like, if he
everywhere
had the
I've read,
been
no
like,
legitimizes those photos though. Like, it's you got one source and you keep harping on those photos.
The problem with for the photos for me are that they're from fucking 1950. You know, like, that's really the, especially if you're taking through a telescope or just randomly quickly trying to like get exposure on
they
a camera
like
that
smudges.
Flashes for 1 second. If it's overexposed for 0.001 seconds, it's useless. Like I just want to know
when did Alien Encounters start to suck? Because this one is awesome. Like, I'm like, these are great. I was like, I always enjoy
sexy
these ones where the aliens, the sexy aliens show up.
Sexy aliens want you to stop using atomic weapons. They want peace and love.
Like, yeah, man, like we're just going to hang out. Like, we telepath. And like, yeah, dude, you guys got to take care of yourself. And like, everything's connected and everything's cool. And then you get these fucking little grays. And
you know what happened? You know why? What happened, Dan? Is
this triangle up your butt?
You had the Venusians. You know, they come
make Alien Encounters great again.
Yeah, they came with all peace and love, the Venusians, right? They had good intentions, but they didn't really help us at all. They just kind of left, and then the word got out that there's this new planet with nuclear technology that had a genetic code that was easy to manipulate, and then the grains came, and that's where it all went down.
The grains came, and then they put the triangles.
They started fucking abducting us.
Yeah.
You know, triangle probes up your butt, like all the other stuff that comes with it. Mm-hmm. And that's where we are now. And so it's really the Venusians' fault.
You know? One day we'll identify where that shift exactly happened. We'll know what happened.
The exact
stopped
day.
Getting the hot, when the hot aliens stopped visiting Earth. And we just got
there hasn't been a lot of Nordics.
Where's the hot aliens?
Yeah,
they're all just
make
like
aliens. Great,
they had their fill. They're like, these guys suck. Yeah. What's the point? We've seen one human, we've seen it.
No
all.
One impressed
we're
them
good.
Yeah. At all. Not even a little. Least left.
They're like, we're better looking.
Let him see fucking Braden and his bell bottoms.
I hadn't seen that yet. Come back.
Hey, you got to remove the S off that. Okay. Bell bottoms are pants. It's a bell bottom. Is the
bell
shirt.
Bottom.
Yeah.
Fucking peak masculinity.
Someone, that's also someone draw
the
that.
Shape of my body.
Someone draw that. Someone make that shirt for us. Someone cut that for us. That'd be perfect. We should sell. That should be the only merch we sell.
I prefer bell bottom. Yeah.
You're the spokesperson for fucking bell bottom.
Yeah.
It's just like the puffy shirt, you know? You just got to get it on a late night talk show. We'll all buy into it.
Yeah. Everybody's wearing it.
Either that or we got to start our own meme coin and do a rug pull, just like Hawk Tua.
Yeah, like Hawk Tua.
What does that mean?
That fucking famous Hawk Tua girl, she fucking created a cryptocurrency and then scammed all her fans.
Immediately dropped 90%.
Why would anybody invest in anything that person did?
People are looking to get rich quick.
They were hoping to get a Hawk Tua, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. I love some of the memes that be like, she's going to be Talk Tua judge.
There's no regulation yet.
Straight to not illegal. Straight to a prison. No, it's still illegal to do that. Any like do those kind of rug pull. It's scams. You're scamming. Well,
it's somebody else probably manipulating her did it, I'd imagine. But
yeah, she's not smart enough to do make a fucking crypto coin.
Yeah, if you want an interesting alien read, I would be like, yes, pick up like Eb Damsey's like second book if you just want to read some out there ideas about the origins of humanity and all of that, and you know, maybe of the actual accounts. Yeah, look at Adamski's stuff and all those. But yeah, he's an interesting character, if anything, from the UFO culture standpoint. So I would say
too much time has passed. The story has been clouded and muddied and shit on, so it's hard to really get to the bottom. And
there's stuff that you can actually see. I mean, if you go into his stuff, you can see stuff that actually looks like it's been derived straight from him, like stuff from today. Like it's just something to familiarize
George Adamski Foundation, I think it's just .com, all the links, all the newspaper, all the interviews, all the transcripts are all there. There's tons of stuff. So,
well, like all of that ancient alien stuff, all the stuff about the Vimanas and stuff is pretty much like from that first book, like all of that first book. And then, you know, along with them. Daniken, Von Daniken. But like all of that stuff is
that
in
old
there.
Angry bastard.
Like all of angriest man. But it's like it's all in there. Like they talk about the fallen that explained for the Nephilim and all of this. It's like, oh, that's in there. It's like if you want to read about it and like find some stuff in there, it's all in there. Which is just like I said, it's interesting. It's interesting.
There you go.
But this one's running kind of long. That was a nice.
Lots to it. You know, lots to that fucking alien encounter. All right. I don't think you guys really read any Patreons.
We have
in the
not.
Last couple of weeks. So I'm just going to scroll back, I'm going to take a guess of how far back I should go. let's go.
I think
go.
There's four.
Well, it's been like 3 weeks. You know, I'm going to start with this guy. We might have already shouted him out, but he deserves it because he's a top tier supporter. We got Nick Fell supporting at the top tier.
Nick Fell.
Let's go.
Akem 713. Groovy.
Let's go.
Another top tier pledge from Skywalker Mead.
Woo! We're back, baby.
Let's
back.
Go.
Then we got Gavin Schreiner. Caleb Beglin.
Let's go.
Jeffrey Alexander. Random Dude 95 and
Random.
Our own Daniel supporting the show.
Yo, and our big our big sponsor, Big Fat
Pod Daddy.
Monkey Pod Daddy, Daddy Pod Warbox. Daddy. I don't know if we gave him a shout out.
No, he's just the pod. he's the pod, pod Daddy now. You know, he's now the single highest solo
Poppy,
supporter.
Poppy Sucra is what we call him.
Pod Poppy.
Pod Poppy.
So all those beauties, they went to aliencomputers.com. They hit support tab. If you want to support your boys, support your favorite podcast, that's where you got to go. And don't sign up off a phone if you're on Apple because you get fucked up. It's easier if you go on the desktop anyway. It links Discord better. It links everything better. Just do it off a desktop. Then download the Patreon app or a secondary podcast player. Easier. Fuck Apple. Fuck Apple. And now we're banned from Apple Podcasts.
And as we say at the end of these things, keep those eyes.
Peace.
Venusian.